Hello and welcome to the Canterbury Kayaking Podcast. My name is Sam Milne. I'm a multi-sport kayak instructor here in Christchurch, New Zealand, and this is the show for people training for the Coast to Coast race, where you'll learn how to prepare for the kayak stage of the race. And on this first episode, I'm going to help you learn how to decide on the best model of kayak to start your kayaking career with. So if you are thinking about doing the Coast to Coast race soon, maybe you're just getting started with paddling, maybe you've never even been in a kayak before, by the end of this episode, I'm going to help you feel confident that you know exactly what model of kayak is going to be best suited for you, so that you can go out and buy your first multi-sport boat and get started with your kayak training as soon as possible, knowing that you're in the right kayak. So let's get started understanding this topic. So I think what you need to first ask yourself is, do you even need to buy a kayak right now? And that might depend on where you are located. You need to understand that you need to kayak a couple of times a week to be proficient at paddling before the Coast to Coast race. So you've got to consider, you know, what options are available for you in terms of training location and what you might plan to do for the race itself come February. Are you going to use your own boat in the race? You're going to hire for the race, travel with your kayak. Basically, you just need to figure out whether buying a boat right now is the right option, because you can, of course, hire. However, I would say that most people do need to buy their own boat for the best outcomes. So you probably do need to buy a boat, but it's a question worth asking yourself. And the next thing is you need to understand is basically about the different kayak designs, like what is the differences between the different designs. You really need to understand that multi-sport kayaks come in different classes. So there's three classes: the stable, intermediate, and elite. If you're first kayak, you're probably going to be using a boat in the stable category, and we'll talk about why that is and why that's super, super important. It's like the biggest mistake in multi-sport kayaking is the faster boat fallacy, and we'll talk about what that is in more detail and why you really want to avoid mistakes in terms of boat choice. And we'll talk about kind of the key features you want to look for in your own first boat. And basically there's four things. Like, you really want the kayak to be really stable and forgiving. You want the maneuverability. You want a boat that steers really well, really responsive to your rudder inputs, so that you can navigate the river easily. You want to make sure, and this is so key, that you get the right size kayak for you, because you know we all come in different sizes, and particularly important is your weight. So the kayak needs to float you, and if you're really light or too light for the boat, then it's not going to sit on the water like it's designed to. And if you're too heavy for the kayak, it's even worse, because you are essentially sinking a little bit and the kayak is not going to perform well or be very forgiving. So the size is very important. And then the fourth thing that you want to consider when you're choosing your boat is like reselling it. So a lot of people buy their first boat and then at some stage, I want to say upgrade, but I really just mean like go to a faster, more advanced level kayak. So at some point you may decide to level up, and if you buy a weird boat that no one else wants, then selling it in the future could be quite hard. So buying something that is easily resellable is a nice thing to consider for, you know, looking ahead into the future. And I've been teaching kayaking for like 10 years, or just over 10 years, doing multi-sport kayak instruction, and watching paddlers go down the Waimakariri River in preparation for the Coast to Coast. And I've seen like all the different models paddled by all range of abilities. And I've been thinking about this topic over the last couple of weeks in detail, knowing I was going to talk about this subject on the podcast as our first episode. I've nailed it down to like three boats that I would strongly recommend you consider. And you can basically just choose one of those three based on your weight, and just know that that's a safe option. And I won't tease you any longer. The three boats that I really like is the Beachcomber, made by Barracuda Kayaks. Then there's one called the Reliance, made by Nautique. And the third one is going to be the Theo, made by Ruahine Kayaks. And there are some other models I'm going to talk about as well that may compare to these. But these are the three that I think are like really safe choices that if you're to start with one of these, you're going to have a great start to kayaking, and you're going to enjoy the sport set yourself up for success. Okay, so those are the things we're going to cover. Do you need to buy a kayak? Why it matters that you buy the right one? What we're looking for in our first kayak? And then we're going to talk through those three different models. Okay, so do you need to buy a kayak right now? Let's just chat through that. So as I said, I think just about everyone would benefit from owning their own kayak pretty early in their kayaking career. Yes, you can like go and hire a boat, you know, and use that. But basically learning to kayak, for a lot of people, there's a lot of barriers in place. Like it's not as easy as just chucking on your running shoes or even jumping on the bike and training in those disciplines. The kayaking has like a lot of what we call faff, which means that, you know, just getting to the water, there's a lot of barriers for people there. So, and if you don't own your own kayak, then you're just creating barriers that's going to make getting that time on the water that's so valuable, you're just going to make that really, really hard. So having your own boat just makes it so much easier to get out there and get the amount of training you need. The only time I'd say you probably don't want to buy a kayak right now is if you know that you're going to be hiring for the coast to coast, and let's say you don't even live like anywhere near somewhere you could realistically train a couple of times a week. So if you're going to need to travel quite far to get to a kayak training location, you know, maybe there's a boat there that you could use. So there are kayaking clubs all around New Zealand. A lot of these clubs have boats that you could, you know, potentially use for your training sessions. Like in Christchurch, there's the Arawa Canoe Club, and they have a shed right beside the Avon River, and it's like full of boats. So if you join that club, you could get started paddling immediately just using the club kayaks. However, this isn't ideal because you really want to be in your own boat and you want the kayak to be suited to you. So if you go and use the club kayaks, you're likely to be in a boat that isn't suited to you. So that's not ideal for some reasons we're going to go into next. So I'd say like if you're serious about giving coast to coast a crack, like I would just say like go and buy a boat. Unless there's some like obvious reason why that is a stupid idea, I think you should just go get one, and you're going to find getting on the water so much easier. Okay, and then I think you need to realize that your first kayak, it might not necessarily be the boat that you actually race coast to coast in. So I know a lot of people buy their first kayak thinking, this is what I'm going to race coast to coast in. But the reality for a lot of my clients is that they start with a boat, and then several months down the track, they might decide like, hey, you know what, like this kayak just, it isn't working for me and I need to change to something else that I'm more comfortable in or performs better for me. Or for a small minority, pick up kayaking really, really quickly, feel natural at it, do loads and loads of practice and sort of outgrow the beginner boat that they started with and a sort of like wanting to go for that higher performance boat that can get you down the river like a little bit quicker. And when I say a little bit quicker, I mean like if you make a jump from your first kayak to a more advanced boat, you know, if you are that good, you can potentially save, you know, 20-30 minutes maybe, all things being equal, going down the Wimac on race day. So for some people you can reach that level of skill, but you know, it's kind of like most people think they're going to be above average at kayaking, which is mathematically impossible. Most people are average at kayaking to begin with, and there are only a small few that basically pick it up really, really quickly to a point where they should be in that next level of boat. So just understand that the kayak that you start in might not necessarily be the one that you choose to race with, and we're going to talk about how that works a little bit later. But I would still be quite conservative when it comes to picking the boat model. And so we're going to go into what some good kayaks are for you in a second. What I want you to really understand is the faster boat fallacy. This is the biggest mistake that I see being made basically in the whole coast to coast preparation thing. It's like the idea that you can buy a boat that's fast and that's going to get you down the river fast. I mean, the boat needs to be paddled, it needs to be handled well. And so essentially, wider kayaks are going to be more stable and forgiving, right? And narrower kayaks potentially going to go faster, but be less forgiving, right? So it's tempting to think, okay, sweet, I'll buy a faster boat and that'll get me down the river faster. But at the end of the day, you need to actually be able to handle that boat on the river. And what that means is when you encounter all the different grade two river features, you've got to have the skill to stay upright and in the boat through all of those features. And if your kayak is not forgiving enough for all the mistakes that you will make, then any little mistake could throw you under the water and you're out of the boat and emptying it on the side, or the boat is broken, you lose your paddle, all sorts of things can go wrong once you start falling over in the boat. So I think the most important thing is that we can stay in our kayak through the coast to coast race. But even more importantly, in this very early stage of your kayaking career, you really don't want to be falling out of the kayak a lot. You want to choose a kayak that's really forgiving so that you can build your confidence and create some good habits for long-term success. So I think being efficient in the boat, learning how to paddle really well, is most important. You want to do that first before you get a kayak that's narrower, more advanced, and then that's going to be like testing your balance all the time. And any little mistake you make when you hit the river means that you're upside down and having a horrible time, and the confidence just gets destroyed. The boat might get destroyed if it fills with water and floats off down the river by itself. And so you really want to avoid this like faster boat fallacy. Get something really forgiving, essentially, for you, you know, just for the first boat. It doesn't mean you can't, you know, go to a more advanced boat later. I just think so many people would benefit if they would just start with something really forgiving, something that's going to help them create success on the river. So there's kind of four features I talked about earlier that are going to help you decide on the first kayak that you're going to choose. So the four features are: you want stability. You want actually maximum stability. You really don't want to be thinking about balancing your boat when you're learning to kayak. There are so many things that you need to figure out, like all the navigation just down the river, like picking the line is like massive. That's like over 50% of the job is deciding on where you're going to put the kayak in the river as you approach a different rapid or a different feature. So your brain is going to be super busy figuring out the line. Well, you know, the line is like where we go down the rapid and avoiding obstacles and things like this. You're going to be real busy, and your brain probably isn't going to have that much space for stabilizing a wobbly kayak and then reacting to when you make those mistakes or a current hits you from the side and things like this. So really, really stable, or just think forgiving. You want something super forgiving for the fact that you're still learning. And then the second feature that you really want is maneuverability. So as I talked about, you need to be finding the line, figuring out where to go on the river, and you're doing that in real time as you fly down the river with the flow. You need a kayak that steers really quickly. As we go to more advanced kayaks, the kayaks get longer, and that gives them a lot of speed. But for us, we actually want a kayak that's relatively short so that it steers easier, right? So think about kayak is much, much longer. You know, it's going to take a lot more to turn that vessel, especially if there's flow acting against the side of the boat. So you really want a kayak that you can quickly steer around objects that you might not see as early as someone who's a lot more experienced and can choose that line a lot sooner and set the boat up sooner. So maneuverability, you want loads of that. And then what's really, really important is the size of the kayak. So if you are the right size for the boat, then the kayak can perform like it's designed to, right? And there's this thing called primary stability and secondary stability. And what that means is primary stability is when your kayak is sitting like flat, level, you know, the way you way you think kayaks should be, with, you know, the bottom facing down and the top facing the sky. So nice and level, that's primary stability. How stable the kayak feels when you're just sitting there with the boat flat, right? But secondary stability, as you can expect, is when you what we call edge or rail the kayak, which basically just means tilting the kayak over slightly, so you're leaning the boat to one side. And secondary stability, when we talk about that, it's like, how stable does the kayak feel when we've got it tilted to one side, when we're on edge? And you need to be able to do that. You need to be able to edge the kayak for different river features. So you've got the river flow, which goes downstream, yes, but there's also currents that come at you from the side, or even like towards the bow of the boat, the front of the boat. So being able to lift one edge of the kayak allows that new flow to go under the boat, right? But as that flow hits you, you need to be stable while you've got the kayak tilted, right? Okay, so if you are the right size for the boat, this all works really well. If you're too heavy for the kayak, you can imagine the whole kayak like sinking, you know, an inch or two into the water. And now when that current hits your boat from the side, there's very little forgiveness. So basically that current hits the side of the boat, and if you try and edge, it can feel really unstable. It just feels like you're like falling over to the side. Your kayak doesn't have as much secondary stability if you're too heavy for it, essentially. And if you're way too light for your kayak, then that can also create some problems, because what can happen there is your boat sits too high in the water, and then you don't have a lot of primary stability. The boat feels really, really lively under your butt. And as you go through the like wave trains, as we call them, which is like your classic rapid with like wave after wave after wave, if you're sitting high on the surface, it can really like throw you around, because you don't have that contact with the water. You want that contact with the water so you feel really stable, right? And there's other factors, like the wind can blow you around if you're not sitting like deep enough in the water, so you don't have that contact to hold you on the surface. And then if you're really quite short and light and you're in this big kayak that's, you know, floating high on the surface, as you try and edge, as you try and lean the boat to one side, you sort of can't do that as well, because you just don't have the body weight to be able to move your center of mass enough to one side to really effectively lift that edge. And it can be really hard to actually create that lean on the boat, if that makes sense, because the kayak's just so big that you're having to lean loads to get it to do what you're trying to make it do. And then the final thing, so we've talked about stability, maneuverability, having it the right size, and then also reselling. So I talked about the fact that this might not be the boat you actually race with, so just choosing a kayak that's relatively easy to resell, not choosing some weird, wacky design, or choosing a boat that's only going to last like another 2 months before you need to trash it. You know, get something quality that you can confidently sell on to someone else in the future if you need to, right? And I think maybe a bonus one that's worth considering is like how versatile the kayak is. So there are a couple of boats out there that can be used in the ocean as well as in the river. So there are some really great sea kayak designs that you can train with. So this is particularly good if you're in a location where you're training and you expect to be on the ocean a lot, right? And you shouldn't really use a river kayak on the ocean, because the river kayaks, when you fall out of them, if you fall out of them, right, they fill up with water. And there isn't a lot of buoyancy in there, and they have quite a small opening for you to get in and out of. So if you fall out of a river boat in the ocean, the kayak fills with water, and it's almost impossible to climb back into. You're like essentially stuffed. Like if you can't swim to the side, you're not getting back in that boat. Whereas if you're in a sea kayak design, then they have these like sealed compartments in the front and the back, which are made to store gear, but they hold a massive pocket of air in the front and back. So if you fall out in the ocean, the kayak will stay afloat pretty well. And if you've got a little sea kayak pump with you, you can pump that water out with a little hand pump. And if you've got a little float for your paddle, you can climb back in. So you can rescue yourself, get back going again. You need to practice this, of course, and someone will need to show you how to do it or teach yourself in a safe place. But the sea kayak gives you the option to use it in the ocean. And if you fall out, you should be able to like get back on and get going again. And part of that is made easier because the cockpit or the opening where you sit in a sea kayak is much larger. So you can climb back in a lot easier. So getting a kayak that, I love getting a sea kayak for my clients for training for the coast to coast because they can train in the river and they can train in the ocean. It's perfect. So that brings me to the three kayaks that I talked about, the Beachcomber, the Reliance, and the Theo. So I really like these three kayaks. I chose these three for three different weight ranges. Okay, so I want to talk through the Beachcomber first, made by Barracuda Kayaks. Now, I think the Beachcomber is the perfect like starter boat for pretty much everyone. Like, I think if you know, I don't know where you're at exactly or like what your natural abilities are, but I think even if you are like a natural kayaker, you want to start with something like the Beachcomber. It's 60 centimeters wide. I'm going to give you some specs here in a second. So 60 centimeters wide, 4.9 meters long, and 17 kilograms. It's made of plastic. It's like a sea kayak design, but it's made of like an ultralight sea kayaking plastic. So if you've been sea kayaking before, you'd remember how heavy the boats are. That, you know, like a single sea kayak is typically, you know, 25 to 30 kilograms. This is 17, so it's like really quite light. It's almost as light as the purpose-built racing kayaks made with fiberglass, carbon, and Kevlar. So definitely usable on the coast to coast. Loads of first timers use the Barracuda Beachcomber. It's like the classic first choice. You really can't go wrong with this. 60 centimeters wide, it's about as wide as they get. Like, it's really, really forgiving. 4.9 meters long, like, that's quite short. So, just to put this in perspective, like, the fastest elite, like, the very fastest boats are around 6 meters long. Some of them up to 6.5. Like, that's if you're trying to win the longest day race. This is 4.9, which is quite short. And the way that the hull is designed, it's super forgiving and really maneuverable, which is one of the things we wanted. Now, in terms of the sizing for the Barracuda Beachcomber, I find that it performs best with my clients that weigh between 70 and 90 kilograms. So, you know, like most people that I work with are gonna fit the Beachcomber. And, you know, I think even if you're, like I said, 90 was the max. If you're like 92, 95, even 95 kilograms, but you know that you're going to get lighter pretty quickly as you start training for the coast to coast, then I'd still go with the Beachcomber. So 70 to 90, like right up to that 90 limit, it's going to be great. Right down to 70 kilograms, I think, perfect starter boat. And yeah, really versatile sea kayak. I just want to talk through a couple of other options that you might be considering. And I just want to talk through why I think the Beachcomber is a little bit of a, you know, better, safer choice. And so you might be looking on the Barracuda website or even Canterbury Kayaking's website, and you'll see the Barracuda Enigma, which is designed more as a multi-sport boat, right? It's very similar to the Beachcomber, but it's made more specifically for racing, not so much for sea kayaking and racing. The Enigma is 58 centimeters wide, so that's 2 centimeters narrower than the Beachcomber. And you might think that's not significant, but in my experience, it is. Like, I swap people out of the Enigma during a course and put them in the Beachcomber, and they're like instantly like, ah, oh, that's a lot more chill. Like, I feel a lot more relaxed paddling the Beachcomber than the Enigma. So it is a little bit of a step up in terms of having to manage your balance, right? The advantage there could go a little bit faster. And we do know it goes a little bit faster. And then it's 5.2 metres long, which is 30 centimetres longer than the Beachcomber. So again, that'll help you go faster, but you lose a fair bit of manoeuvrability that the Beachcomber has. And then the other thing is that the Enigma is 20 kilograms heavy. So remember the Beachcomber was 17. This is 3 kilograms heavier. And it doesn't sound like much, but it definitely is. And I just think for the beginner, like having a nice lightweight boat just makes your whole life a lot easier when it comes to loading it on the car, getting it off again, walking it to the river, even paddling it. It's nice to have that lightweight boat underneath. It's very, very responsive. And when you do swim, and I say when, like when you fall out of the Beachcomber, it's so light that like emptying it and getting it going again, it's just a lot easier to handle. So while I do think the Enigma is a great boat, I just think it's probably a better like second boat. And I'd 100% recommend going for the Beachcomber first and then potentially, you know, upgrading to the Enigma later. All right. And then, you know, if you're more ambitious, you might be looking at the Aspire from Flow, which is a kayak I love, but I definitely feel like it's a better second boat. So like if you really haven't done any kayaking before, you need to be starting in a Beachcomber. Like, let's not make kayaking harder than it needs to be. I mean, I've seen it done. Many people can start in the Aspire, but it's not the majority. Like, trust me, I would much rather you start with a Beachcomber and then feel like bored with it because you're so good and so confident and so, you know, happy with how things are progressing in your skills that you're like, oh, you know what? I'm getting down the Waimate Gorge awesome in my Beachcomber. I feel like it's holding me back, you know, then advance to something like the Aspire would be perfect. And then if you can paddle that just as well as the Beachcomber, then, you know, it's potentially 20 minutes faster on the day. But just don't fall into the trap of thinking that you might just go straight to something like the Aspire or a more advanced and then think, I'll just grow into it. Well, what I would say is that in my experience, most people don't grow into boats. They just hold you back because if you're not feeling totally relaxed in your boat, if you're not able to feel confident paddling that down through a river feature, you're going to be just like a chicken all day. You're not going to paddle good lines. Your brain is going to be busy just keeping the boat upright, trying not to crash it or fall over, and you're just not going to be able to learn as quickly. So yeah, if you're between 70 and 90 kilograms, start with a Beachcomber and, you know, sell it if you need to later. I don't think you will. Most people that start with a Beachcomber use it for the first coast-to-coast race. You see like loads and loads of them out there. They're about $4,000 New Zealand to buy right now. And you see them selling for about $3,000, right? Like if you use it for 6 months, a year, you know, and then you sell it secondhand, you're only going to lose like $1,000. And so for a whole year of kayaking with your own boat, a brand new boat, use it for a year, then move on, you know, potentially lose $1,000, maybe less, depending on, you know, how the secondhand market is at the moment. Okay, and then I think next one that I want to talk about is the Nautique Reliance, okay? And this kayak, this is like more like a racy design, okay? It doesn't really look like a sea kayak like the Beachcomber. It is more of that multi-sport racing design. It's made with like fiberglass, Kevlar and carbon. I'm not exactly sure on the exact layup right now, but these are very similar to the Beachcomber, and they're actually an old design that's been renamed. So they used to be made by Sisson Kayaks, which no longer exists. Sisson sold the molds to this brand Nautique, which now make them, right? And so the Sisson Eliminator is the classic model, and you can pick those up real cheap. But if you want to buy a new one, it's now called a Reliance, which is a great name because, you know, it's really reliable. So some specs on this, it is 55 centimeters wide. So it's actually 5 centimeters narrower than the Beachcomber. And you might be thinking, whoa, that's a lot less. Like, why are you recommending that? And I'll come to that in a second. It is 4.9 meters long, so the exact same length as the Beachcomber, okay? And if you get the standard layup, they're advertising on their website that it's 13.5 kilograms, so it's lighter than a Beachcomber, right? The downside to that, of course, is if you smack a rock really hard, you might crack it. And they are repairable for sure, but just that little bit more fragile than the Beachcomber. So why would I recommend a boat that's narrower than the Beachcomber? Well, this is the boat that I'm recommending for those of you that are under 70 kilograms. So if you're a lightweight, smaller paddler, I think the Beachcomber is too large for you, right? It's too wide to get leaned over on its edge like you need to do. So if you're under 70 kilograms, my pick is the Nautique Reliance. It's so similar to the Beachcomber, just a little bit smaller. And so you're a little bit smaller, but you want something similar to the Beachcomber, go for that. I think it's a great choice. I've had lots of clients use that with great success. A lot of people don't like the Eliminator, the Reliance anymore. And I just think that's a sizing issue. I think people that are over 70 kilograms are gonna, you know, be better off in a Beachcomber, to be honest. If you're in that, I mean, they can definitely be paddled. They're just not gonna feel like that super stable, super forgiving boat that we're looking for here. I think if that's what you're after, which is what I'd recommend, then, you know, Beachcomber, 79 kilograms, and under 70 kilograms, Nautique Reliance Sisson Eliminator. I do see on their website you can get like a touring model, which is like a sea kayak version of the Reliance. So if you know that you're going to be training in the ocean, you can, it looks like you can order, I don't think I've seen one in person yet, but they call it the Reliance Touring, which has the, you know, the storage in the front and back, like I was talking about. So you don't need to worry about the kayak sinking. if you fall over in the ocean, you can potentially climb back in. I'd 100% recommend one of those for a lightweight paddler. Looking at the other options in this weight range, I considered recommending the Enigma, which I just talked about, 58 centimeters wide. So a little bit narrower than the Beachcomber, which makes sense if you're a smaller paddler and trying to lean the boat over for features. But then, you know, I actually did recommend this boat for smaller paddlers like last season and the season before. But watching my clients paddle them, particularly the smaller clients, is they are 5.2 meters long and the Beachcomber is 4.9. So that longer boat for a smaller paddler doesn't make a lot of sense if we're looking for something that's easily maneuverable. And so, yeah, that's why I really like the Reliance. It's a bit shorter. It's the same length as the Beachcomber. And the Enigma is 20 kilograms. You know, Beachcomber, 17 kilograms. Nautique Reliance, 13.5. If you're a smaller framed athlete, if you're like a small person, you're not probably assuming you don't have a lot of muscle on you to push a big heavy boat or even lift that on and off the roof and get that to the water comfortably. So that's why I'd recommend the Reliance, lightweight, wide, without being too wide, and a good length, so you know you get that good balance of speed and maneuverability. The other boat that's real similar, which I'll talk about before I go on to the last weight category, is the Ruahine Intrigue, and this kayak is 54 centimeters wide. So remember the Reliance was 55, and so yeah, 1 centimeter, you know, less stable, I guess. And it's 4.9 meters long, so it's the same length as both the Beachcomber and the Reliance. Fine choice, you know, like if you find one of those, it's pretty similar to the Reliance. You know, it's actually a little bit tough to separate those two, but if I was going to recommend one, it would be the Reliance, and that is you get that extra little bit of width on the Reliance. And just looking at the shape in person, I think the Reliance is just a more forgiving shape. Like it's got that slightly wider platform in front of the cockpit, and the nose on the boat is just got a little bit more, like the nose lifts up over waves a little bit more, whereas the Intrigue is a little bit racier. It's a little bit more advanced. And I know from experience watching beginners paddle these two kayaks that the Intrigue just doesn't steer quite as well as the Reliance. And, you know, I don't know how much I'm annoying the people that make the Ruahine boats or any of the other kayaks, but I'm trying not to be, not to offend anyone here. It's just my experience with the boats and my preference. So I think the Intrigue, Reliance, Enigma, they're all pretty good choices for the lightweight paddler, but my pick there, Reliance. Over 90 kilograms. So if you are a bigger paddler, then this is where I think the Ruahine Fio is the best choice. And so I guess, you know, I said don't buy the Ruahine Intrigue if you're lightweight. I guess Ruahine gets my vote for the bigger paddler. So I'm gonna send you there if you're a bigger paddler. And I'd recommend you grab the Fio. It is 62 centimeters wide. So that's actually wider than the Beachcomber, which makes absolute sense because if you're a taller, heavier guy or gal, you are going to find the Beachcomber sits a little bit too low in the water and doesn't quite have that same stability, that same platform underneath your bigger frame. So I think you need to be in a slightly wider boat so that you feel just as stable as someone in a Beachcomber. And the Ruahine Fio, 5.2 meters long. Remember the Beachcomber was 4.9. So this is a bit longer. And I think you just need that extra length if you're a bigger person, just to, again, provide a little bit more of a platform to keep you basically up on the surface, to float you properly, so that you're not, you know, down low in the water like we've talked about. So you can get this kayak in carbon fiberglass construction. And so I don't have a weight on that, but I expect it to be between, you know, probably around 15 kilograms. I'm not really sure, but that's not super important. It shouldn't be any more than a Beachcomber, I would think. But it is a sea kayak design as well. So this will come with the hatches front and back with those storage compartments, which also create an air pocket. You can use it in the ocean to train and in the river to train, and you can race with it at coast to coast. I think it's an amazing choice for the bigger paddler. This is an area I've really, to be honest, I've not known like exactly what boat to recommend for the larger, heavier paddler for a long time. And I kind of unfairly just put bigger paddlers in the Beachcomber because that was like all we had, and it was my best guess at what would work. And only recently, Tim at Ruahine has come up with, you know, the Fio, which is like, I think it's going to be a great, great kayak for the bigger paddler. And I've only worked with, I think, two paddlers now, both bigger guys, around 100 kilograms, over 6 foot. And we see them in the Beachcomber and you're like, mate, you're sinking that. Let's jump in the Fio and things go a lot better. So Beachcomber, Reliance, Fio, choose the one for your weight range and I think you'll be safe. Okay, so I just want to talk through now just like how this works. I've got like two different situations for you. Let's say that you are, you know, you just want the smoothest possible start and you're prepared to like pay the premium for that. You don't mind spending a little bit of money on this to make sure we get this right. And then I want to talk through like how this might work if you're more on a budget, right? Okay, so you're looking for your first multi-sport kayak, and let's say you're, you know, I don't want to say money is no object, I mean, for everyone it is, but let's just say like this is going to be worth it to you to get maybe a brand new boat, pay the premium on that, and just have the smoothest possible start. So what you do first is you basically want to just go out and buy your new boat. So if it's a Beachcomber, you want to contact me if you're in Christchurch and you can buy one directly off me. You can look at the canterburykayaking.co.nz website to see if we've got any in stock, or just email me, sam@canterburykayaking.co.nz. If you're outside of Christchurch, Canterbury area, go to your local kayak shop. You can buy a Beachcomber like all around New Zealand, easy. And then what you want to do is paddle on flat water with that a lot. Ideally before your grade 2 course, but basically just as soon as you can, just start paddling. The more time you get kayaking, the better you're going to be by the time we get to coast to coast. Then you do your grade two course, you get comfortable with river paddling, you learn all the basic skills, you start practicing those, and then eventually you paddle the Waimakariri Gorge, the coast to coast route, with a guide, okay? And you paddle your Beachcomber or your Reliance or your Fio on that guided trip. Hopefully you stay in the boat and you don't fall out, you know, and it goes really well, because you've made a really, really wise choice on a forgiving kayak, okay? And then once you've been down the river, done the race course, and you're at this stage where things are really starting to come together, you can reassess how you're going with your paddling, and you can consider moving on to a more advanced boat to actually race with. And for many of you, you're going to get to the stage and think, you know what, I'm so comfortable with my boat. I feel like there's more to gain here with better line choice, better navigation, increased forward stroke technique. I feel like I can gain more with my fitness, with all of that. Most people don't go on to a more advanced boat in their first season. But if you are like absolutely nailing it, then you can ask your guide, hey, how do you think I'm looking in my Beachcomber, my Reliance, or my Fio? Do you think it'd be worth upgrading? And the guide might be like, mate, like, absolutely. Like, you're absolutely crushing it. You are like a, you're amazing. That'd be so nice to hear. And then you can, you know, think about trying out another boat. So if that was what you plan to do, then what I'd recommend and what many of my clients do is keep the stable boat, keep your first boat while you test out a different boat. So you might go out and buy like an Enigma or an Aspire or something like that and actually have two kayaks for a little while. You don't want to get in a situation where you've upgraded and then screw yourself and you find out that that's actually way too hard and you're now going backwards. So once you're, you know, have got those two kayaks, you can start swapping in between them. Once you're sure that you're going to get the gains out of that more advanced boat, you sell your Beachcomber, maybe lose $1,000 on it max, and you're sorted. You're away. You do the coast-to-coast race and you're in the right boat. If you're on more of a budget, then what I'd do is buy a second-hand boat. And the advantage to this is that when it does come time to sell the kayak, either you're moving on to something more advanced or you've just done the coast-to-coast and you're done with it, then you might not lose anything on the boat. Like, the second-hand market for kayaks is actually really, really good. So the downside, obviously, is that, you know, everyone's looking for a Beachcomber at certain times of the year, because you're not the only one who's trying to hunt down a bargain on a really good boat. And also, once you start looking at secondhand boats, you might start to see like all the other models out there and think, oh, what about this one? I wonder if this is like similar enough. Maybe this would do the job. It's only like $1,000 instead of $2,000. And I get emails all the time from clients of mine like, hey, I found this boat on Trade Me. I know you recommended a Reliance or an Eliminator for me, but what about this one? And so many times I'm like, nah, like that's a terrible choice. Or sometimes it's like, yeah, I mean, you could, but you're going to make kayaking a lot harder than it already is. So you'd have to be patient. Getting a secondhand boat can be a great option if you get lucky and find something on Trade Me or on Facebook. And then you just paddle with that first kayak on flat water a lot. Maybe while you're looking for your secondhand boat, you could just be borrowing boats from a club or from a mate. You do your grade two course, get comfortable with river kayaking, paddle your boat down the Waimakariri Gorge. You could even rent a boat for kayaking down the gorge, but by this stage, you really want your own. And then again, you just reassess where you're at, consider moving on to a more advanced boat, whether that's a good option for you or not. And then if you were going to advance to the next level of boat at that stage and you're on a budget, what I'd suggest is that you just borrow or rent, you know, some boats that you're thinking about moving on to. before you sell that first one. It probably took you a long time to find that first boat on TradeMe or whatever. You don't just want to ditch it unless you're 100% sure that this next boat is going to look after you well and not cause you problems down the track. So when it is time to sell your first boat, if you bought it secondhand, you haven't destroyed it, you'll probably be able to sell it for the same amount you paid for it. So you could just go ahead and do that. Okay, so that's how that works. If you are, you know, either you're prepared to pay for a new one or you're more on a budget, that's kind of the pathway that I would suggest, okay? So far we've kind of talked through whether you need to buy a kayak right now, why it matters so much. We've talked about the fact that a faster boat isn't actually faster if you can't paddle it and stay in the boat when it comes to racing with it. We've talked about what we're looking for in our first kayak. I've given you three really solid choices depending on your weight range. That was the Beachcomber, the Reliance, and the Theo. We've talked about how this might work if you know you're prepared to pay for a new one or whether you're more on a budget. And now I want to give you like what to do about it. Okay, so we've come this far. Now it's time to act on it, because if you don't, you're just going to stall out. We need to get started with kayaking really as soon as possible if you're going to have a chance at being competent on the river come February. So you need to tell yourself whether you should buy your own kayak right now. And if the answer is yes, then we really need to like get on with finding one as soon as possible. Because without a boat, you're not going to be able to train, right? So you need to figure out what the best model is based on your weight and my recommendations that I've already made, okay? If you're still not sure, you can contact me or your kayak instructor and double check that you've got the right boat in mind. And then really just go straight out there and buy one. I mean, or at least, at the very least, make contact with a shop or the person that sells the model that you're interested in, and just let them know that you're considering buying one. I mean, you've got to take action here, and I know that they do seem expensive. They're kind of the biggest investment that you're going to make in terms of your gear for the coast to coast. Maybe not the bike. I know they're bloody expensive as well, but it's just such an important decision that so many people get wrong. I think you need to get in there, get your own boat, and just make a really conservative choice. And then you can get started. So that kind of brings me to everything I wanted to take you through in terms of buying your first multi-sport kayak for doing the Coast to Coast race. Thanks so much for listening. If you made it this far, I really appreciate it. This is the first podcast of many that I hope to do. So I hope you enjoyed it. I'd love to hear your feedback on it. There'll be a blog article on this same topic. I'm going to like summarize all these points, and I'm going to link that below in the show notes, or you can just find that on canterburykayaking.co.nz. Please subscribe to this podcast using the app that you're listening on, and you'll get the latest ones as I do them. Again, my name is Sam Milne. You can contact me directly at sam@canterburykayaking.co.nz. Thanks again for listening. On my next episode, I'm hoping to take you through kind of everything you need to know for buying your first paddle. I think that makes sense. You've got to buy a boat, you need a paddle so that you can paddle it. So make sure you stick around for that episode. Talk soon. Cheers.